You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1. Romans, chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. We come first to ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us of every sin, every word, every thought, everything about us that's not Christ-like, or becoming as a child of God. I pray that you'll cleanse us of it. Thank you for this day, for your goodness, for your mercy, for the word that we've heard. Thank you for the songs tonight that have blessed our hearts and lifted up our hearts in worship and praise to you. Thank you for this church, for Brother E. Smith. Thank you for all that you are doing during these days, for every man of God. I pray that you bless them in their respective places of service. I pray, Lord, now that you'll be pleased to touch thy servant. Give us that special anointing. Illuminate our mind and loose our tongue. And may the gospel go forth not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. I pray, Lord, for those who may even be among us that are strangers to your grace, that have never been to Calvary by faith. May this be there. They lay down their arms of rebellion to find mercy, grace, peace, and pardon at the feet of our Lord. Thank you again, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy. I pray, Lord, now that everything that we do and say will be to the praise and the glory of God. May there be no parade in the flesh. May the Lord Jesus alone receive praise and honor. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at this verse, a very familiar verse, I'm sure, to most of you. And, of course, it is a golden text in the book of Romans. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Not that there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are Baptist, to them which are Methodist or whatever. But there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And so this is a golden sentence to the ears and the hearts of the people of God. We're not 99% sure that there's no condemnation. We're 100% scripturally sure that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. All men's incentives will not set a man free. All of your efforts cannot save you. If a person believes that there is one spark of divinity or anything in a person that can produce salvation, they will never look to the Lamb of God. But for every person who is convicted and convinced by the Holy Ghost that they are a sinner and flees to Jesus Christ, the only refuge, and plunges beneath a fountain of blood, they shall lose all their guilty stains, and there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, of course, knew, as every child of God knows, that when the Holy Ghost comes to dwell within, and when we're quickened by the Spirit of God, then translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son, that something wonderful and something glorious has happened, performed in a moment, but it will be wondered at throughout eternity. And it will take eternity to even begin to praise Him. For there is therefore now no condemnation. condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know the conjunction that introduces our text. Therefore, now sometimes big doors swing on little hinges. And it's an amazing thing. I've seen in some of the castles in England and Scotland, large doors and that were held up just by three or four hinges. And so this word, this conjunction, therefore, that introduces these blessed words. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This word, therefore, is a threefold hinge that fastens all that follows in the epistle of Romans back in the framework that has gone before. In other words, something has happened. Something wonderful. Something glorious has taken place. So that it is possible to say, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 3, there's the hinge of justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 6, there's the hinge of our union with Christ. And in chapter 7, there is our identification with Christ. And because of these three great truths, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And you notice in Romans chapter 3 and all of chapters 4 and 5, you see the strength and the power of this divine hinge that connects the present glories of a child of God with the foundation of all these glories. It is the justified act of God based on what Christ did on the cross. The only way that a person could ever face the judgment, the only way that there can be no condemnation, is because of what Christ did on the cross. The bottom line is, He paid it all. Sin had left the crimson stain, but Christ Jesus came down to this earth and paid our sin debt and made it possible that a holy God could reconcile fallen men. What an amazing thing that God sent His Son to this world. The Bible says God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. In the flesh, condemned sin. The Lord Jesus on the cross became sin for us. He judged sin. He condemned sin. And He conquered sin. And He made it possible that you and I can be justified by faith through the finished work of the cross. What a glorious thing. The great Creator who robed His shoulders with the universe, who sandaled His feet with the stars, walked down the stairway of heaven, the God of glory, wrapped Himself in a body of human flesh, lived in that body 33 and a half years, and took that body and nailed the cross and paid our sin debt and made it possible that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He paid the debt of sin. Now normally I'm sure it's true of most of us. A person is saved for a long time before he has the remotest idea of what happened to him by the grace of God. And of course when the Lord saved me, many things I didn't understand. Many words in this Bible, I didn't know most of them. I had no idea what they meant. But when God saved me, and immediately my heart was turned to the Word of God, more and more I realized what He did for me. What I was. Where I was. was and how it came to me. I remember as a 9-year-old boy being under great conviction. And Brother Milby, I had no idea what was wrong with me. I was miserable. Even as a 9-year-old boy, I was afraid. And I was wrapped in darkness. But oh, how well I remember that April night as they sang, "Would thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded soul. Oh, then be wise. Be saved tonight." After the preacher had preached from Luke 16. And that night, I was saved by the grace of God. I knew that something wonderful had happened. I remember the first morning, I woke up saved. And I've woke up every morning since saved. And the more I study this book, and the more I discover what God has done for this soul of mine, I can say with John Newton, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For there it is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." The conjunction that introduces that in the text, "therefore," and you know then the confirmation that perpetuates it. If you've really been justified, the proof is there is no condemnation right now. Now when we're safe in the arms of Jesus and safe in heaven, we can easily understand how that there will be no condemnation. But right now, in this present evil world, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The fact is that God Himself has no judgment against us because we have come to Jesus, the true and the righteous judge. Hebrews 12 reminds us that we have not come to Mount Sinai, that mount that might not be touched. And if an animal touched that mountain, it was slain immediately. A mountain where God descended, and there was an earthquake, and smoke and fire surrounded that mountain. And the trumpet sounded, and the voice was so terrible and so frightening. But the Israelites said, "Let us draw to the other side of the valley." And even Moses, the leader, was terrified. And that is Mount Sinai. That is the law in its holiness, in its fullness, and in its judgment. But thank God we that are in the grace of God have not come to Mount Sinai. We have come to Mount Zion. We have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to the general assembly. We've come to the angels, and we have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, which speaketh better things than that of Abel. I rejoice for Abel's lamb, but my lamb is far purer. My lamb is more nobler, for it is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There is a trumpet that sounds, not like the one that frightened the Israelites, but it is the silver tongs of amazing grace. And in the grace of God, we have come to Jesus, and as a result, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. At this very moment, there's no condemnation. If you trusted the finished work of Christ, if you've been to Calvary, if you've been quickened by the Spirit of God, adopted into the royal family of God, there is therefore at this moment no condemnation. And of course, there are those who criticize our emotional outbreaks, as they put it. And they accuse us of being fanatics and having some kind of counterfeit religious ecstasy. But the existence of a counterfeit means that there's a reality. I mean, you have to have something real before you can have a counterfeit. And what we have in Christ is the reality. It's not a counterfeit. It's real. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, if the fallen son of Adam's race can go to a ball game and holler under their horse, if they can get all excited when their candidate wins, then it is for sure that a sinner saved by grace and washed in Calvary's blood can express his gratitude by holy praise and worship. As a matter of fact, as Brother Mill has already spoken to us, we need to praise him even more and more and more and more. And if God has done anything in your heart, there is praise. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And we do not read that there was no cause for condemnation. There was a reason for condemnation. As a matter of fact, every sinner is under condemnation. And we that are the grace of God, we that are saved, were once ourselves under condemnation. Now the devil's gospel is there's no condemnation. There's no judgment. There's no punishment of sin. But God's glorious gospel is there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Once we were in a state of condemnation, not probation, to see if we could attain salvation. But the Bible declares, he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. But therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know the completion that activates it. The reason that there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ is because of what Christ did on the cross. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now the law is good and holy, Romans 7 says. But the law could not save. That was not its intention. Galatians says it is our schoolmaster, revealing the depravity and the darkness of our heart. And the only thing that could satisfy the righteousness of a holy God was the death of His Son, the righteous death of His Son, who bore our sin in His own body. And all the wrath of God was poured out upon that sacred head. Every drop of blood that He shed was for us to pay our sin debt. The Lord Jesus paid it all. The law could not save us. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh, God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. The Lord Jesus took upon Himself a body of flesh. But there's never been a body like the Son of God. His Father was not Joseph. It was God Himself. His was a sacred body. That body saw no sin. And that body, when it died, saw no corruption. And God raised Him up
the third day, a holy, sacred body, the instrument of salvation. And that body was offered as a sacrifice for our sin. And so that every person who is in Christ may confidently and with blessed assurance say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The law could not save. The law is like an alarm clock. It can wake you up, but it can't get you up. And only the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, can quicken those who are dead in trespasses and sin. But what the law could not do, the Lord Jesus has accomplished on the cross. Now a short person, can stand beside a 10-foot pole, but it won't make that short person any taller. It just makes that short person look at that 10-foot pole and make him realize how short he is. That's what the law does. It makes us see how wicked, how sinful, how we fall far short of the glory of God. But thank God for Christ Jesus, who paid our sin debt on the cross. Sin and agony in Gethsemane. Sweat and drops of blood. Sin is nailed as he's nailed the cross. When his quivering flesh, as the nails are driven into his hands. See his lips, thin and pale. See the holy blood, the sinless blood, trickling down his face, past sunken eyes, intermingled with the spit that has been placed on him by the wicked mouths of those that mocked him. And see him die, and see him suffer, and keep on suffering until God himself could not look as Christ bore our sin. That sacred head became the object of God's wrath. See the great Father of eternity pull the window shades of heaven, put out the light of the firmament, and for 3 hours there was nothing but utter darkness as Christ bore our sin in his own body. But thank God at the end of those 3 hours, hear him say, it is finished! It is finished! And thank God there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Sin can't have me. The devil can't destroy me. And death can't destroy me. And hell won't get me. Because I've come to Jesus. And there is therefore now no condemnation. Well, I had some more, but I believe that's enough.